If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll join our hearts together in another moment of prayer. Acts chapter 20. I would like to read the 28th verse. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Word of God says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Before we begin to study, please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that every good and perfect gift has come from thee, and our lives are daily filled with blessings from our Heavenly Father. And we pray that you would help us to be more mindful of the good things that you're doing for us every day. That you would help us to know that even living and enjoying life and the breath that we are able to breathe, the things we're able to see and hear and all that we're able to do, that they're all because of your mercy and your grace in our lives. We know that we're not worthy of even the least of thy blessings. We know that we fall short of being what we ought to be, and yet we are thankful that you are a merciful and gracious Heavenly Father. We pray that you would help us as we try to live each day, that we would be more mindful of your presence. We ask thee to help us to serve thee more faithfully, that you would help us to be mindful at all times of our duties and responsibilities as your children. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to really love you, and to be able to honestly, truthfully say, "I love you, Jesus." And help us not just to use the words, but by the deeds of our lives, help us to show forth that we do love you. Help us to love the Lord our God, our Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Help us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to love our families. Help us to love the brethren. Lord, help us to even love our enemies. We pray that you would help us to remember that if love is not abounding in our lives, it doesn't matter how much scripture we know, doesn't matter what other things we might do. If love is not moving and motivating us, if it's not a work of faith and a labor of love, then it's not acceptable in your sight. So help us, Lord, to love you in all that we do. Help us to do everything we do to thy name's honor and glory. Thank you again, Father, for sending thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world. Thank you for leaving the portals of heaven as we have sung out of the ivory palaces. We're reminded again over and over of what you left. You left the portals of heaven and came down into this earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful, Father, for you sending your Son, a sacrifice that none of us would have ever made, to give up our only begotten Son for others. And more amazing than that is to give up your Son for wretched sinners. And we thank you, Jesus, for leaving the portals of heaven, that though you were rich, yet for our sakes you became poor, that we through your poverty might be rich. And we're thankful that we know that one day we're going to be in the eternal heaven, but we're thankful that we're rich right now. Just to be able to commune with thee as friend with friend. To come to the garden and to be able to have fellowship with you and to enter into your presence and to feel that you are with us. That we're rich in being able to commune with the one true and living God. Bless all of thy people, Lord. You know the needs of each individual, and we know that you alone are able to help. We ask you to help and touch those that are very sick, that you would be with them. We do ask you, Lord, to bless Brother Dan Gates. We pray that you would be with him and touch his body and bless his family. Guide the doctors in everything that they do. Give him great peace. Bless his faith to be strong every day. And bless his family. Bless his companion and his children. And bless the East Highland United Methodist Church there as they're going through a very difficult time with their pastor being so sick. Pray that you would bless Sister Donna Walker, Donna Wheeler. Lord, bless Sister Donna to get help that she needs. Touch her as the great physician. Restore her to her health. All the others who are sick, Lord, you know all of those that are on our hearts and minds. Not only those that are sick physically, but those that are sick spiritually. Those that are cold and indifferent toward Thee and to Thy Word and to Thy truth and to the church. We pray that you would burn in their hearts, that you would stir up in their hearts a zeal and a commitment and a dedication to Thee. We ask you to bless the families who are having trouble. Bless them as you alone are able to do. And bless us during this coming week, that every day that we would look to Thee for the strength and grace and wisdom that we need to live each day to Thy name's honor and glory. Help us to live each day as if it's our last day on this earth. And as we close our eyes at night, lay down on the bed, and as we pray that we might be able to honestly, truthfully say that we've loved Jesus, we've shown love to Jesus this day. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who is the head of the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There's a lot of preaching in Acts chapter 20. The main thought that's on my heart is that in Acts 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." A lot of preaching just in that one verse, not just in that whole chapter, but that one verse. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is the fact that as this verse speaks about the elders of the churches at Ephesus, and that's the one that Paul was speaking right here to, as he's called these elders together, and he's told them that he would probably see their face no more, that he was going to never see them again, he said, "I want you to take heed to yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So one of the main things in that verse is that the elders were to feed the church of God. They were to watch over the flock of God. They were made overseers. God had made them overseers over the church. And so they were to watch over the church. But the first thing he said is take heed to yourselves. And that's been the most important thing on my heart this afternoon and earlier this week, is that we had better take heed to ourselves. I know that as parents, you have a great responsibility in taking care of your children. And as pastors, we have a responsibility in taking care of the flock of God, which God has made us overseer of. And all of you have different kinds of responsibilities. All of you have different kinds of responsibilities and people that you try to take care of and help in different ways. But the first thing Paul says is that more important than you looking out after everybody else and straightening everybody else out, the first person you better straighten out is yourself. I think that most of us would rather straighten other people out than ourselves. Is there anybody here that would rather do that? Is there anybody here that probably thinks you spend more time straightening out other people than you do yourself? Well, Paul says, number one, take care of yourself. And he's not talking about feeding yourself and clothing yourself. And he's talking about looking at your life. Make sure your life is what God would have it to be. Look at yourself. Every time that people have problems, they want to blame someone else, don't they? Well, what Paul's saying here, look at yourself. Stop looking at other people. Look at yourself. Jesus talked about this same thing. And these are just the two words that are on my heart. Well, the three words, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, four words. is look at yourself. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7. Back up just a moment in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and notice verses 3, 4, and 5. Jesus here is talking to his disciples now. He's not talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. We know the scribes and Pharisees, they always looked at other people and how bad they were. But right here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking to his own apostles. He's talking to his disciples, rather. And as he speaks to his disciples, people who are already following him, people who are already trying to live in a right way, he says to his disciples now, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now, is it important that we look around and see problems that people have and work with them with their problems? Is that important?
Yes.
Yes, it is. A man that doesn't care about other people that are walking contrary to God's word and God's way, a man that's only concerned about his own life, that man is not a Christian. It's in looking out and helping take care of others and getting others on the right path. That is part of our responsibility. And when there is sin in someone else's life, we need to try to help them to be converted and to repent and turn from that sin. But what Jesus says here, don't be out there straightening out other people until you first try to straighten your own self out. So he says this. He says, "Why are you looking at the mote?" That's a little splinter. "Why are you looking at the splinter in your brother's eye and you're not considering the beam that's in your own eye?" What's Jesus saying? He's saying, you better take care of yourself. You fix your own self. He's saying, take heed to yourself. Look at yourself and straighten yourself out. I remember sometimes I talk with parents. You know, we want people to be full of zeal, don't we? In the church. We want everybody to be full of zeal, committed and dedicated. And sometimes I'll talk to parents that finally begin to realize they need to be committed and dedicated and zealous. And I have talked to parents sometimes that get that way, but they are committed and dedicated and zealous in running all around taking care of other people, but their own household is in disarray. There are men and women that are very concerned about children all around in the community, and they're running around and they're praying for and they're trying to help all these other people, and their own children are in a mess. There are sometimes Christians that are always working in other fields and labors, and they're working in this way and that way trying to help other people, but their own household and their own life is just all messed up. Well, that's what this is all about tonight, is go back home. Get back to yourself. Work with yourself and work with your family. It's like Joshua said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But that's all Joshua could do anything about, really. That's all I can do anything about. I can try to work with others, but me working with others without me first working with myself and my family, that's to no avail. I just want to encourage you to take heed to yourself. Who would you say the Apostle Paul loved more? Can you think of one person that you think the Apostle Paul probably loved more than any other person? Just think for a minute first. Don't answer yet. What individual do you think, other than Jesus, but what person did Paul probably love more than any other person? All right, I'll take some thoughts now. Oh, I've got two on the front row, said Timothy. Yes, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. I thought of Barnabas and I thought of other people because Paul and Barnabas and other people went around a lot together. But I believe that if you'll study carefully the Word of God, I believe you'll find Timothy is the man that Paul loved more than anyone else. My son. He loved him like a son. Paul didn't have any sons of his own. But he loved Timothy like a son. And I love you all like my sons and daughters. You're my children, in a sense. And If you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'll give you scripture to show what I'm talking about, but you're my children. You're children of God, but there's a spiritual sense in which you are my children also. And Paul loved Timothy like a son, and as I have tried to study about, take heed to thyself, did you know that the one person that Paul loved, I think, the most was Timothy, and the one thing that Paul talked to Timothy about more than anything else was, Timothy, you take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Let's turn now, and we'll spend the rest of tonight just looking at what Paul said to Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy just a moment. Let's see that Paul, as he had tremendous love for Timothy, his exhortations and his speaking and his writing to Timothy and everything he did with Timothy, it focused on not on Timothy being a great preacher. It didn't focus on Timothy being a great man of God that everybody looked up to. It focused on Timothy, you take care of yourself. Take heed to yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 3, listen please to verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul writes to his son Timothy and he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to, what? What are the next two words? How thou oughtest to what? Behave thyself. Is he telling, take heed of yourself? Mm-hmm. Behave yourself. I said, it's amazing. Two times this week I've said to someone, have you been behaving yourself? Evidently that's not a term that young people know a lot about, because it was two young people I was talking to and I said, have you been behaving yourself? And both of them said, what? I said, behave. You don't know what it means to behave yourself? Oh, am I doing right? Am I living? Yes. Are you living right? That's what behave yourself means. And Paul says to Timothy here, he says, I've written these things unto you so that you can know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You need to know how to behave yourself. There are many children that don't know how to behave themselves. I'm talking about parents haven't taught their children how to behave themselves. Now, Timothy was Paul's son, and he wanted his son to behave himself. He wanted him to behave himself everywhere he went, and he addressed those issues. But the one thing he specifically says is, I want you to behave yourself in the house of God. I want you to behave yourself in the church of God. Did you know we need to begin to reverence the house of God more than we do? We need to reverence the house of God more than we do. It is amazing to me. If I step on your toes, I'm sorry, brethren. But this idea of just lallygagging in and out, drop in 10, 15 minutes late, walk in and out, come in and sit down 5 minutes late, walk out, going in and out of the house of God all the time, it's just a mess. It's embarrassing to me. It really is. That's the number one complaint I hear from people that visit here is, why do people go in and out of the church all the time? Why do they just walk in and out of the house of God? Don't they know how to sit down? Don't they know to go to the bathroom before they come into the house of God? And you can get mad if you want to, and you can tell me about all kinds of kidney problems if you want to. I'm telling you, I find most everybody here can sit in other places a lot longer than they sit in the church. I'm telling you this, brethren, because I love you. It is a shame and a disgrace that we show more respect for other people and other places than we do for the house of God. I encourage you, if you've got to go to the bathroom 10 times, you stay in the bathroom as much as you can till right time for church to start, and then come in church. If you need to drink water, you drink water. And you get plenty of water. Now, sometimes you're going to have, but you don't have to walk in and out getting water all the time. That's just not what God's pleased with. That's not behaving yourself in the house of God. Some people come in and sit here until church starts. And when church starts, that's when they get up and go out. We need to take care of ourselves, behave ourselves in the house of God. need to reverence the house of God. When you come in here to worship, come in to worship. We have come into His house. We sing that, and I love to sing that. But we have come into His house to worship Him. Worship Him. Some people never sing a lick in church. Did you know that? Some people don't care about singing to God. In fact, I can tell from the expression, some people just don't even care about being in God's house. They don't want to be here. And let me say this. It would be better for you just to quit coming than to always be mad in the house of God. Don't come and disrupt the service. Don't come and sit in the house of God and cut up and talk. Don't sit in the house of God and laugh with other people, okay? Because there are people that sit on the back rows that say, I can't sit back there anymore. Because there's so much confusion going on back there. Laughing and talking in the house of God. You know what's happening? People don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. Listen, brethren, before I die, when I die, I don't want anybody to say, well, I didn't know it was wrong to talk during church. I don't want anybody to say, well, I didn't know we ought to be in the house of God and sit down instead of walk in and out. I want you to know that you're doing wrong when you don't reverence the house of God. Don't there ever be any confusion. The apostle, God told Isaiah, He said, you go and tell the people what's right and what's wrong. And He said, whether they will hear you or whether they will get mad at you, at least they'll know they've been taught what's right and wrong. All of you parents and grandparents, you need to, every time you see your children doing something wrong, you need to talk to them. They get mad at you. If they want to leave you, if they don't want to speak to you, don't you die and then wonder what was right and wrong. You be sure you tell them. Tell them over and over. Behave yourself. Take heed to yourself in the house of God. Did Timothy need to hear those words, take heed to yourself in the house of God? Do you think it had an effect on Timothy's preaching about everybody taking heed to themselves in the house of God? Absolutely. Come now to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. After he said, take heed to yourself, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, after he's talked about behaving yourself in chapter 3 and verse 15, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise who? Thyself. Exercise thyself. Now, the Word of God says, in fact, the next verse says, bodily exercise. Are there a lot of people that exercise today? We've got several businesses here in town that do a thriving business. You'll find more cars at some of those exercise places than you do at most houses of God on Sunday. A lot of exercising going on. But that's not what the Bible is talking about right here. It's not talking about bodily exercise. It's talking about spiritual exercise. And he says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, brethren, we need to be exercising ourselves in the area of godliness. We need to be working at it. Those people that exercise, most of them that are committed there, they exercise hard. They work hard. They labor hard. And the people of God, Christians, and specifically Paul is telling Timothy, son, exercise thyself unto godliness. Be the most godly man that has ever lived on the face of the earth. You can't be a godly man if you don't exercise yourself unto godliness. So he says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Now come down to verse 15, still in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. How do you think Timothy felt after he finished reading this letter? Anybody have any idea how Timothy might have felt when he finished reading this letter? Because at least eight times in this letter we're going to look at least eight times he points his finger right at him and says, you do this. You do this. Exercise thyself. Behave thyself. Come down to verse 15 now. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things. I'm telling you, we need to meditate on the things of God. Meditate upon these things. You can't meditate on these things if you've got these. I see so many teenagers and kids going around today. They either have both ears plugged up with what? What's stuck in the ears? Okay, there's either one ear with a cell phone or two ears are plugged with, headphones, all right? Listening to music, just listening to music. You can't meditate on the things of God when you're packing your head with all the trash that you're listening to. We need to meditate on the things of God. You need some quiet time. Turn off your television, turn off your radios, turn off everything, and meditate on the things of God. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give yourself wholly. That means to completely be dedicated to doing these things I'm telling you today. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Should others see that you are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Should people look at you and say, you know, that was a babe in Christ, but by George, it looks like he's just a mature Christian today. He went from being a babe to being a mature Christian so fast. He soared. He was a weakling, and now he's strong. He was following the devil, and now he's close to Jesus. He was full of the old man. Now he's full of the new man. He was full of pride. Now he's full of humility. Look how he's growing. Look how he's grown. Now come to verse 16. He says, take heed unto thyself. He keeps repeating it, doesn't he? Not the same words. Every time it's a different wording. But he says, that's kind of a summary expression. Take heed unto thyself. Watch what he does in verse 16. Three times he says, you better behave. He says in verse 16, the first expression is, take heed unto thyself, and what's the second? And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. You hear what he says there? He says, take heed unto thyself, and then he says, if you'll do these things, save thyself. And then what's the last phrase in that chapter? What's the last phrase? And them that hear thee. Yeah, you see? He's not saying just think about yourself. But he's saying, first and foremost, before anyone else, you need to work on yourself. So he says, save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, was Paul telling Timothy, I want you to get saved and not go to hell and go to heaven? Was that what Paul was telling Timothy? Timothy was already saved eternally. He wasn't telling Timothy that you're dead in trespasses and sins. He wasn't telling Timothy you're going to die and go to hell and you need to save yourself. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only one that has ever saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven. And yet the Word of God says that we can save our brothers and sisters in Christ from the error of their way, and we can save ourselves from a lot of hell on this earth to a lot of heaven here on this earth. And that's what Peter was preaching about on the day of Pentecost when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. What does Paul now say to Timothy? He says, do these things and you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. Parents, if you want to save your children, the first thing you've got to do is what? Save yourself. Save yourself. Don't ever tell your children, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Don't do that. You're wasting your time and you're nothing but a hypocrite when you say that. Don't ever say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Be an example to your children. Show them how to live. Walk in a way that they can look at you and say, there is the good example. I believe my daddy was the best example of a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ of any man I've known in my life. And I'm not being partial. I am not being partial in that. I've known many other ministers that said the same thing. They had never seen a man of God that daily served the Lord and was the same everywhere he went as my daddy was. And he was a man of God. I can never say that my shortcomings were because my daddy didn't give me a good example. I am not half the man of God as he was. He was a man of God. He was a good example. All of you are to be good examples. But in order to be a good example, in order to save others, you have to first save yourself. Straighten your own self out. Take heed unto thyself. What did Paul start out telling all those elders at Ephesus back there in Acts chapter 20? He said back there, he said, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. But first take heed to yourself, and then go take care of the flock. What does Paul tell Timothy right here? He says, save yourself and them that hear thee. Do both. Do both. But start off where? Start off with yourself. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Listen, please, to verse 22. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. The Apostle Paul speaks to his son Timothy and says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. What's he saying, that last expression in verse 22? Keep thyself pure. Now, did he need to keep those that heard him pure? Yes, he needed to do that. But what's the first thing? What did Paul emphasize? Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. If you want your children to be pure, if you want your children to be pure, you need to be pure. Give them examples. Show them what purity is all about. If you want your children to be dedicated to God, you show them what it means to be dedicated to God. If you want your children to love Jesus, show them what it means to love Jesus. If you want your children to put God first in their lives, show them what it means to put God first in their lives. But don't talk to them if you're not going to try to first take heed unto yourself. Keep thyself. That's what he says in 1 Timothy 5:22. Keep thyself pure. You hear that? Keep yourself pure. Now, I'll close with one other verse in 1 Timothy. Well, no, I'm going to close. I've got one other one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Look at, in this passage here, he's saying in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to notice what he does. Look at the last sentence in verse 2. In verse 2, the last couple of lines there, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last two lines of verse 2 says, these things teach and exhort. Now, what's he saying, teach and exhort? Teach everybody to take heed to themselves. Okay? And then he says, if any man teach otherwise, come down to verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, where cometh envy, strife, railings, and surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, what are the last two words there? Withdraw thyself. That means get away from them. You know, so many people think we're supposed to never declare non-fellowship with anybody. You can't read the Word of God and believe that. Amen. It is important. It's imperative that God's people get away from some people. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Children need to learn. They need to be raised. Don't you ever, ever be around somebody that does things that are wrong. Get away from them. Now, what's he say here? Withdraw yourself. What's the last thing he said just before he said withdraw yourself? There are those who teach what? That gain is godliness. Gain is godliness. You know what that means? That getting rich is godliness. Are there a lot of name it and claim it teachings going on in the world today? Are there a lot of people that are teaching that if you really love God, you'll be rich. You can have everything you want. If you want a Cadillac, all you've got to do is just believe. If you want a big house, just believe. That's teaching that gain is godliness. What does the Word of God say that you're to do when somebody's teaching that gain is godliness? What are you to do? Withdraw yourself. Get away from them. That's a dangerous person. That's somebody that doesn't know much about Jesus. Listen, brethren, if gain was godliness, Jesus would have been the richest human being on this earth. And he wasn't a rich human being. He didn't have, I'm talking about materially, Jesus was not rich. He told people that started to follow him, he says, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. If you want to be rich and you think that God wants you to be rich, you're sick in the head. You better look at what God's Word says. We need to be rich in good works. There are many other ways the Word of God teaches that we're to be rich, but being materially rich should not be the goal of your life. Gain is godliness. Get away from anybody that teaches you that. Withdraw. Who? Withdraw thyself. Get away from them. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. We'll close with this verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he tells Timothy, oh, how he loved Timothy. Didn't he love Timothy? Was he concerned about Timothy? Was he concerned about a lot of other people? No doubt he was. But he didn't talk to anybody about straightening his own life out more than he did Timothy, because he loved Timothy the most. So he says, now, by the way, you're Timothy, okay? You be Timothy just a minute. You've just gotten this first letter, and 8 times he told you to straighten out yourself. 8 times in that first letter he told you to straighten out yourself. How are you going to feel, Brother Mike? How are you going to feel? 8 times now he's told you, okay, wore out, like somebody's just taking the belt with you real good. Okay? How are you going to feel, Brother Chris?
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed? Okay. He's told him a lot to do, hasn't he? He's told him a lot to do. Okay, ready for some good news. Yeah. Why did he do all this correction?
Love.
Because he loved him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God. What a marvelous statement. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. My heart rejoices when I see God's people studying and learning from God's word. When I see them growing in a knowledge of the truth. When I see them studying not to show off. You ever seen anybody that liked to quote scriptures and show off? About how they could quote scriptures and they could tell you where it was found. They'll quote a scripture and they'll say that. Now that's Galatians 2:46. That's not a Galatians 2:46. But I'm just telling you, you need to be careful about once you do study, don't be trying to show off with studying. Don't try to show off. You need to know it all. It'd be fine for you to memorize everything in this book. I would strongly encourage you to do that. Memorize the whole Word of God. We've got one brother in the church that he's doing a lot of hard work to memorize Scripture. Working and laboring. He's coming up with a lot of different tools to memorize a lot of Scripture. Everybody here needs to learn to memorize Scripture. Memorize it. These Bibles may be taken away from you one day. You need to have it in here and in here. You better get hold of the Word of God. You think it can't happen in America? Well, I never thought what's happened in the last 10 months could happen in America. We're not the same America that we used to be. We will lose these Bibles. They'll be gone before long. And Christians will be killed and put in prison. Learn the Word of God. Teach your children the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God help us to look at ourselves and consider our ways and examine ourselves, and may God help us to straighten out ourselves and then also work with others round about us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.